We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
With the 21st pick in the NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select...
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Joe.
All right, Woody. Thank you, Kyle Krabs, Locked On Fins podcast. Been a busy, busy guy up there in the Northeast. Joins us this morning. Kyle, how you doing?
Is it Thursday night yet, Joe? How's it going?
No, man, I can't wait. You guys and everybody on TV's done a great job of hyping up what we're getting ready to watch, starting with that quarterback class. We'll talk about that in just a second. I want to get into something, a little bit different take on this Dolphin stuff. To me, a couple of positions they're not going to take, and when I say not, I might throw the seventh round in there too if they do take somebody. A tight end, a quarterback, cornerback, and inside linebacker. No shot. Yes or no? On outside of a seventh round pick, the rest of the picks they might have will not be one of those positions.
I wouldn't be too sure, and I don't know anything. I just know they've seemingly been tied in this pre-draft pretty closely to tight end Jatavion Sanders from Texas, for example. It is a good cornerback class. I think the big mystery for cornerback, and obviously Cam Smith is a presence that everybody's hoping takes a big step in year two. But with this secondary and moving Jalen Ramsey around, what does that look like? Who do you anticipate playing where? There's some special teams guys, the new special teams rules in general. I think you've seen the Dolphins go out and spend on a few players in free agency. They're like Cam Brown, the linebacker from the Giants. Designated special teams type of player, Saran Neal from the Bills. So, you get fifth round pick, maybe you have a fourth round pick from a trade somewhere. I would be surprised if cornerback's on the table in that kind of regard. But I agree with you with off-ball linebacker. I think they've added a lot of juice to that room that they already didn't have last year with the new addition of Jordan Brooks and then Anthony Walker as well. So they're already plus one in the linebacker room. And then I do think any quarterback that they would draft would be a late round developmental guy.
Yeah.
So I agree about half those positions.
So the one that would surprise me the most is the one you said first, because I knew you were going to say that. So we go from zero production as far as touchdowns and at the tight end position to now – along with the guys you had a guy in Smith and Fortson to this group, and now you would add a rookie. It just doesn't make sense to me. With all the other needs and everything else, it doesn't make sense to me that all of a sudden after going into year three, he's going to put this high priority on the tight end position.
I'm inclined to agree with you. And I think you are putting yourself at a little bit of a disservice for if you only keep the two top 100 picks, right? If you only pick a 21 and 55, I'd be kind of underwhelmed with a tight end being one of those spots, because the name that they've been linked to, Sanders, I think would be behind Jonnu Smith as a rookie. And you'd love to get meaningful snap takers in both of those spots. I think the big question for Miami coming into year three of this offense is, are they going to be more of a 12 personnel team? If they're going to be more of a 12 personnel team and have two tight ends on the field with regularity, and if that is their answer to some of the challenges that they have been presented with beyond the top two guys in pass catchers, then I think maybe there is an argument to be had that there's room for another seat at the table.
Yeah.
But that would indicate to me some pretty significant personnel changes in the tendencies of what this team is that I think maybe we aren't expecting because of what it has looked like the first two seasons.
I've been surprised, by the way, if we're just talking about snaps, how much Durham Smythe and Julian Hill played together. I really was. I guess specifically Julian Hill, what do you see for him in year two, the rookie free agent, and does he play even more than he did last year, or could he be in trouble?
I think that's kind of the subplot here. As you go back to the first year, it was Tanner Connor, was their undrafted free agent, developmental type tight end. And then year two, it's Julian Hill, and he supersedes Tanner Connor, who ends up playing on the practice squad. So they've kind of been, like, hacking away at trying to find somebody for cheap. And if they come back to the well, I don't think that bodes particularly well for any of the developmental projects, be it Tanner Connor or Julian Hill, to have a more prominent role. And I already think Jonnu Smith is kind of one strike against those guys. So yeah. I think that's as we've kind of gone through, I've kind of got the sense they've been trying to get an athletic pass catcher type to hit the hard way. And if they've decided they've had enough, they've already shown that they've had enough because they signed a guy in free agency in Jonnu Smith. But I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think there's other position groups I'd rather see them invest in, but I'm just saying I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if that's the direction they want to take the offense.
21st pick. I went from just take the damn best player. And honestly, I don't really care. I mean, you got to have guys that can come in and play at some point fairly early, whoever you draft, whether even if a first-round pick ends up being a second and a third-round pick, we need some guys that can come in and help, especially at the end of the season when everybody's banged up. We have to have some guys that can play. What's your gut feeling on what happens with that 21st pick?
I look at who's going to, or who is expected, I should say, to be available. And it doesn't sound like they're going to get a favorable bake with the offensive line. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of action between 10 and 20 in those spots. Pittsburgh's apparently really rumored to like even Graham Barton, who's been kind of like the de facto in mock drafts. It's like, oh, all the Fulaga and Fatanu and Fashanu and Joe Walt, they all went off the board. We'll put the Dolphins with Graham Barton, who's played tackle but can play inside and play all these spots. I don't even know that he's going to make it. So I think the value for Miami is probably going to be on the defensive line, whether that's an inside guy or an outside guy. I think that's where you're going to find, in all likelihood, unless an offensive lineman slips for whatever reason, and that could very easily happen if you get a fifth quarterback that goes in the top 20. So that's something I think every Dolphins fan should be rooting for, is get that extra quarterback to go in there, because the domino effect is you're going to get somebody kicked back in your lap that's going to be really, really good. I think you're going to have a couple guys that are really, really good, but I just think you're going to be defensive linemen are going to be where the value's at when you come on the board at 21.
Hey, Kyle, so I see these two names pop up, and if they were both there, and I told you had to pick one, I'm just curious. So this has been going on for a while. Jackson Powers Johnson, center guard out of Oregon, and Graham Barton, who you just mentioned, it's played all these different positions, and we know flexibility is a big thing with these guys. Which guy would you like more if they stayed at 21 and they were both still on the board?
I would pick Barton, and the reason why is Barton has tackle flexibility long-term, where Jackson Powers Johnson does not. I think both of those guys would be starting guards for you in year one, I think JPJ can play guard or can play center. But Barton, I think he's probably better inside, but he's got several years worth of tape in the ACC playing tackle. And I thought his 2022 tape was his best tape there. So I would take the guy that has the positional value to potentially play outside.
So you feel he can come in and play right away? Like he can sign a contract and within a couple of days he can line up with the ones in a huddle?
I would not expect him to not be amongst the top five options that you have for a combination of starting five offensive linemen in some capacity, yeah.
Yeah, wow, okay. Hey, so all this yap that's going on at the quarterback position, and I'm not talking about drafting a quarterback like Omar is in, or was in the first round with Tua. No, I'm talking about these guys. Jaden Daniels' name all of a sudden. Unnamed sources saying Jaden Daniels could be the best quarterback in this draft or clearly is the best quarterback in this draft. Do you buy that?
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody authentically believed that because of the athletic ability, but I would say we do this just about every year in early April, whether it's Drew Locke or Will Levis or you go right down the line and there's guys that are not the top quarterback predictively. And I don't think it's a coincidence that all the sports books did the musical chairs with the number two overall pick odds in the past 5 days, where it was Drake May's turn and then it was Jaden Daniels' turn and then it was J.J. McCarthy's turn. And now magically it's back to Jaden Daniels' turn all over again. So it's like, I think this time of year, it really underlies that the draft is probably about 2 weeks too late because you just get to that certain point in the process. And it's like, all right, we're out of stuff to talk about. But I would not be surprised if this time of year, those kinds of conversations are either a scout or if they an individual scout who has a right to his own opinion, or otherwise it's from maybe the agency side of things where maybe they're trying to skew the public narrative about a player to try to influence draft stock.
If there's one quarterback that drops, and I'm going to put Bo Nix with that group too, that we're going to go, wow, because it seems like every year there's one quarterback that not only drops, but we keep waiting, and TV's got him, Mel Kiper's got him as his next guy, the best players left, and the guy kind of sticks around. Who would that guy most likely be at quarterback? Would it be Bo Nix?
I think it's either Bo or Michael Penix. I think the mystery for Penix is he's been linked to the Raiders kind of continuously. Do they get kind of gun shy and do they not feel like we can get greedy and get him later and they pick at 13? And do they pick him at 13 or do they pick best player available and then try to come back and potentially trade up into the second round or back up into the first round for him again? So I think that's the roadmap, I think, for Penix. And then it does kind of sound like the Giants are maybe the dark horse quarterback team picking at 6, where they could really throw a wrench in the plans of, say, Minnesota, who's sitting at 11, or Denver, who's sitting at 12, as teams that are potentially coming up, because the Giants' sales pitch is, okay, you can trade with us and you go back 2 spots, or you go back 1 spot, and you could still get a star player in this class instead of going out of the top 10 altogether. And if that happens, I think that maybe kicks one of those quarterbacks back up. But if it kind of goes the way we expect and Minnesota gets the fourth quarterback, then I think both of those quarterbacks, Nix and Penix, might be in for a little bit of a wait.
So let's talk about this quarterback. We know the Bears are going to take a quarterback with the first pick and the Commanders most likely. Patriots need a guy. Vikings, you mentioned. The Broncos aren't really going to go Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham play for a starting position. They got to be looking to upgrade that position, yes or not yet?
It sounds like they're really enthralled by J.J. McCarthy. The problem is they have the least amount of draft capital in the bidding war to get a pick for him. So whether that's the Giants or whether that's the Vikings, I think those two teams being at 6 and then being at 11 but also having another first-round pick, well, Minnesota preemptively traded up into the first round for a second first-round pick for Houston, and the understanding was they're loading up on ammunition for a quarterback. Well, the Broncos, they have 12. They don't have a second-round pick as things currently stand, so they're outgunned in just about every way. I would not be surprised if they were one of the teams that found a way to catch a quarterback falling out of the first round in some way, shape, or form, just because they do need more competition at that spot. And you're kind of really limited after the six names that we've talked about. The only other guy that probably gets any kind of starting consideration anytime early in his career is Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina.
Yeah. No, there's Spencer Rattler's a really interesting one. You know, he was a starter there in Oklahoma. Wasn't Caleb Williams like his backup there for a cup of coffee? And all of a sudden, Caleb Williams takes over. And they were even talking about Rattler being a first-round pick back then. And he had to transfer. And, of course, they end up both leaving. Crazy, crazy.
It was about 2 years ago where Spencer started the first half of the season, and then Caleb came in the rivalry game against Texas, I believe it was, and never looked back. But, you know, Spencer came into that season kind of top 10 overall kind of buzz. There's no question about the arm talent. I think it's just the gunslinger mentality and the decision-making with him is probably going to have him as a day two guy. But I know teams are probably going to look at just his ability to throw the ball and say, hey, this is going to be a guy worth taking the shot on if we strike out on the early guys.
Hey, I leave you with this just because it's been brought up. And would you be surprised if the Dolphins, if they do get a third-round pick with one, two, or three, took a safety? Would that surprise you at all, a young safety?
No. No, I think day two is kind of the sweet spot for safeties in this year's class. There's a couple of guys, be it Taylor Demerson from Texas Tech or Kitan Oladapo from Oregon State, guys that are really versatile and they can tackle and they're explosive and they're long. I think guys like that would be kind of a nice complement to Jordan Poyer. If they end up having one best player available with their pick in the second round, I would guess it would probably be Javon Bullard from Georgia. I think he's somebody who would really benefit from an understudy of Jordan Poyer as kind of a guy who's not the biggest guy, and then maybe a long-term successor there. But I would not take that off the table at all because I think third safety is one of the top three, four needs just from a looking at the depth chart standpoint for Miami.
Yeah, I'm with you. Cam Kitchens, you didn't mention him from Miami, University of Miami. You like him or no?
It's a weird mix. I love the ball skills. I love the instincts and coverage, but I know he ran better at his pro day, but he didn't test well. And the tackling's kind of being an issue there. So I think he probably excels in center field as a single high safety. I think that kind of goes away from the trends of the league, and that's why the safety position's kind of become as devalued as it has been because everybody's just running split safeties to limit explosive plays. And that Ed Reed style of play is a dying breed. The teams don't really run a lot of that for the structure of the defense and what they're trying to dictate to offenses. So I just think Cam, I think he'd have really helped himself if he tested better and ran better. I think teams are going to have a lot of concerns with that. But there's no question the ball skills and the instincts are there in coverage. So I just don't know how the league's going to react to that full resume that he's been able to put on this offseason.
Kyle, thank you, man. I can't wait. We'll talk this weekend. I'm dying to find out what you think after the draft. I appreciate you coming on, bud. Thanks.
Sounds great, Joe. Thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.